Good afternoon and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And on the show, we like to talk about things just in the area, things going on that you want to know more about. Maybe you know a little bit about, but we want to dive into a little deeper. And with it being the holiday season upon us, I felt it was no better thing to talk about than the Cookeville Rescue Mission and the new executive director, Mr. Bruce Bailey. Mr. Bailey, welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
Well, I say you're the new executive director. You didn't get here yesterday. You've been here for a little bit, so I don't know if you're still new or not. I guess you still are.
You know, it's always you're always the new kid on the block until something goes wrong, and nothing's gone wrong. But I've been here since the end of April. Okay. My wife and I, and my mother-in-law lives with us.
Oh, okay.
We were on the West Coast, up in Oregon, for about 2 years.
Prior, you can tell you're not from Tennessee the way you said Oregon.
Yeah, well. And when I got to Oregon, they said it's pronounced Oregon, get your guns.
Yeah.
And I just did not feel at home in Oregon. It's just my little rebellion of saying it Oregon. My wife always wanted to live in Tennessee, no joke. We have been tourists, you know, down to Nashville and Franklin, and she just kept talking, and she was praying about Tennessee. Lord, will you get us to Tennessee? I started looking around for positions, and this one at the Cookeville Rescue Mission came up. I applied for it. We traveled cross-country about 2,500 miles, had the interview with the board of directors, and thank the Lord they said yes.
Well, good, good, and welcome to Cookeville, by the way.
Thank you. It's a great place to live.
You guys didn't just decide you wanted to move to Cookeville, and you just decided, let's just look for a job. You have some background. Tell us a little bit about your background in the rescue mission world, or the giving world, I should say.
So, I was up in Oregon for 2 years, and in Salem, Oregon, you're making me laugh. I should say Oregon. In Salem, Oregon.
I'll say Oregon for you.
Heading up the Union Gospel Mission in Salem. And prior to that, I had lived all around the upper Midwest, literally. So I was born in Minnesota, literally a week and a half after I was born, we moved to Detroit. And I say that because my folks were in the same organization that I eventually joined as an adult. I lived in Missouri, Kansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, and moved about every 3 years. So primarily doing mission-type, faith-based work around the upper Midwest.
So, and was that with, you moved so often, some people would think you're probably like what they call a military brat, you know, you move all the time, but was it with the Salvation Army?
It was. So my reputation's preceded me, but you know, the method of, organization with the Salvation Army is to move people every 3 years or so. And so much so that once my oldest son graduated and was out on his own, he said to me one day, Dad, I've been in my house for 3 years and I feel like I ought to be packing up to move.
Well, good. So your wife wanted to always come to Tennessee. What drew her to Tennessee? Just the tourist destinations
you guys? She loves the area, and I do too, but she, you know, was the kind of the impetus to start us thinking and praying about should we. And I believe it was God's will that we come here. Some really good things have happened at the rescue mission, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. She kept planting that seed, like, and she was open. If the Lord said go to Texas, that's where we would have ended up. But Tennessee was the place, and I think she kind of felt that's what He put on her heart and mind, and was speaking to us, and so that kind of enlarged her desire to be here.
Well, good. We're glad you guys are here. We're speaking today with the executive director of the Cookeville Rescue Mission, Mr. Bruce Bailey. Let's talk a little bit about the mission. So I think everybody, or most folks out there, have heard Cookeville Rescue Mission, but I think it's safe to assume most people don't know exactly what the rescue mission does. Tell us about the rescue mission, maybe how it got started, some of the programs, how many people you guys serve.
Sure. And Matt, you are absolutely correct. Most people have an inkling of an idea of what we do. I talk to a lot of people who say, I drive by the mission every day and I wonder what goes on. And I know some people might even see some of our men, our residents outside smoking. We have certain designated places where they can smoke because that's a habit that they've gotten into. Mm-hmm. The mission has been a 30-day emergency shelter where anybody can come in as long as we have bed space. and they can take advantage of three very good meals a day. This community supports us a great deal with food. We're so appreciative of that. And they can have bed space and avail themselves of everything that we have and look for work. But we have started something new, which is a long-term 12 to 18-month program where we call them programmers, people who come from the 30-day shelter and get into our program. They don't pay any fees to join the program. It's simply, do they want to make a life transformation? Do they want to develop purpose in their lives instead of the way their life has gone in the past? And this program is centered on a philosophy or a principle called ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences, and many people are certain to hear about that. And we know that many people get into addiction and or homelessness because they've had experiences. It's that attachment theory in psychology where at a certain young age, if you don't attach to a loving individual such as a parent, your mind misses something significant in development. And we are finding as we approach people and help them work through that period of time that they missed, we're helping them to delve into what led them to make decisions that they're making. A lot of people come to us and it's, you know, they're suffering from events and circumstances not of their own making. Other people come and it is of their own making. They have made bad choices. But we don't say to people, what's wrong with you? We say, what led you to this? What got you here? Now let's work on that and move towards the future. So that program, we just started 12 to 18 months, depending on how the individual phases through the program.
Okay.
It is Bible-based. We're a Christ-centered, faith-based organization. And we do tell people in the 30-day program, if you're willing, it's your choice. We have a longer-term stay program for you where you can build a solid foundation rather than just staying 30 days and going out to get a job and repeating the same thing
same
that you've
cycle.
Been doing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's brand new. We're seeing some initial success. I've been speaking to churches around lately, as you would know, for Christmas activities. And I've often said, people are going to fall by the wayside. We know that. Not everybody's going to be a success, at least the first time. And in my experience, Matt, we've had people in other places where I've worked 2 and 3 and 4 times coming back to the mission.
Right.
And that's okay, because I count every day of breaking that cycle of homelessness or addiction a good day.
We're speaking with Bruce Bailey, the new executive director of the Cookeville Rescue Mission. And right now we're talking about some of the programs they have. And they've just instituted, I guess, a new program after the 30-day stay. You can it's a rehabilitation phase of 12 to 18 months. What are some other programs you guys have going on? Or let me ask you this, just to get it out there so folks know, how many people, men and women and children, I assume, how many folks do you guys see in a year,
let's say? On average, on a daily basis, 50 to 55 people. And because of the configuration of our facilities, 50 to 55 depends on the makeup of the family. So where 4 single women might be able to occupy a room, if a family of 2 comes in, they, you know, cuts the number down by 2, obviously. There is a point in time count that your listeners might be aware of. It happens in January of each year, and I think in 2019 it's going to be January 22nd.
Okay.
And we participate in that as a shelter to confirm how many people who are homeless are staying in our shelter. And it's a one-day count, but it's supposed to be like an average. I went back and did a little check on our data and the count point in time count data, and I could go back to 2014, and then I'm not sure if that's where they started the point in time count, but I can't get data too far back from that. But since then, I've determined that the Cookeville Rescue Mission had about 17% of the total homeless population for Upper Cumberland in our facility on the point in time count days.
Oh, really?
So, and that fluctuates. So, on average, each year we house 1,000 different or unique individuals.
Okay.
But people who stay for 30 days or longer, obviously, we are literally housing an equivalent of thousands of people, but it's about a 1,000 unduplicated count.
Now, there's one program that I learned about several years ago that you guys had. I'm not sure if you still have, but you had a working farm. Is that, you guys still have that?
I wouldn't have called it a working farm. And from what I know, pieces I put together from conversations, they had kind of a agricultural or botanical kind of program going, where people who have progressed to a certain point in their recovery phase could live at the farm. It was a 7-acre place. And when I got here to do the interview back in early this year, the board of directors had talked about that, and they were not happy with what the farm had produced or didn't produce in terms of life change, not just agricultural produce.
Right.
And I understand there were some weather-related events that diminished the capacity of that farm to do what they wanted it to do. We also used to have a thrift store, and we did away with that, and the board had been working on that as well. The thrift store, while it was popular with patrons, was actually costing us money.
Gotcha.
And the board agreed with me that we couldn't afford to take our focus off life change in order to support a store.
Right, and one that loses money. I mean, you are a nonprofit. You can't really afford to have a money loser in your organization.
But we still do take clothing donations for our residents, and we just don't take all the other bric-a-brac and furniture donations. We don't have room for it.
Okay.
But people are welcome to bring clothing, and we're happy to have it.
Good. We're talking today with Mr. Bruce Bailey, the executive director of the Cookeville Rescue Mission. And when we return from the break at Local Matters, we will discuss some challenges ahead for the mission and then also their biggest fundraiser when we return. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And with us today, we have the Cookeville Rescue Mission executive director, Mr. Bruce Bailey. I talked about a lot of the programs on the first part of the our show. And now I want to get into potential hurdles and challenges in the future for the rescue mission. And that challenge would be the widening of Jefferson Avenue, which is where you guys are located. How is that going to affect the future of the rescue mission?
And it's, Matt, it's not only widening of Jefferson, but because we're on the corner of Jefferson and Davis Road, they are also widening Davis Road.
Oh, okay.
It hits us from both sides, from two sides.
Oh, wow.
And because they're going to take part of Davis Road, it's going to cut our parking lot in half.
Yeah, because you guys are right there on the road anyway.
Right on the corner.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we would be able to meet city code with setbacks, et cetera. TDOT has just started the process. In fact, yesterday I sent an email off to the right-of-way agent that I've been working with to see if we could get some more information, details about the timeline for their encroachment and their right-of-way work. Right now, as people pass the mission on Jefferson, they may see, it used to be a red door, but we had to change it out. It's now a white door.
Oh, really?
Because we had to repair the door. But if, and that's on the lower level of the men's dorm, which sits right behind Marsh Chapel. So if they see that at all, when the road is widened on Jefferson, if men would come out of that lower level, they could take about 2 or 3 steps and be right in traffic.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a heavy impact on our program. And as we look at our parking lot from Jefferson all the way through our parking lot, which would be west on Davis Road, cutting that in half. So people might be familiar with what we call the Family Lodge. It's a big white building on the south end of our property. The parking lot being cut in half would impinge on food deliveries. They have the big semi-trailer that comes in and trying to back up and deliver food. It's going to really impinge on our ability to function.
Yeah, it just sounds like there'd be no way to do it, really, without being in the road.
It'll be tough. It'll be tough. And that was, frankly, when I interviewed for the position, one of the things that the board says we've got to find an answer, a solution to this. So I knew that was my number one priority coming into town. I'm happy to do that. I love challenges. And I think God has put me in this place to answer that challenge, not by myself, but, you know, as the Lord strengthens and gives guidance. I've been involved in other capital campaigns in other places, and they were successful campaigns. But each situation is different. Each community is different. And we're still in the process of determining how we can solve this, because TDOT's schedule is somewhere between 2019 and 2020.
Mm-hmm. So that's right on us. I mean, it's coming up pretty soon. And so are we looking at a possible relocation of the rescue mission? Is that what we're thinking right now?
Initially, when I got to town, it was a relocation. And I had a couple leads that the board informed me about, and I've tried to track them down to no fruition at the present time. So one of the things God is teaching me is patience. Slow down, boy, in my own time. And one day I was out looking at the back of our property and thought, well, what if we could add on to our property? And then I looked at the building behind us that's a commercial building right now. Mm-hmm. And decided, I walked over and talked to the manager over there and found out that the owner who lives in Knoxville had been thinking of selling the building. So I called him, mm-hmm. and very brief conversation, and he said, yes, I'm willing to sell. So this is maybe a little premature on my part to announce this, but I'm a very open kind of person. I don't see any harm in people knowing we do have a plan.
Gotcha.
We're trying to put things together. In fact, I have an architect who is working with us to put designs together so we can approach donors, potential donors, to help us. But this building, I've already gone through the process of having it appraised, had an inspection recently, so we are conducting due diligence to see. And the plan would be, if we could obtain that building at the right price and obviously raise the money to pay for it, we would then go in and kind of retrofit it to meet our needs and move all of our residents to that building once it's done, and then come back to our present land and rehab those buildings because they're really deteriorating over the years. So it's a long-range plan, but the short version is we could get something done in the next year or so with that other property and start to solve the problem.
We're meeting with Bruce Bailey, the executive director of the Cookeville Rescue Mission, talking about the challenges ahead with the widening of Jefferson and Davis, which is the corner that the rescue mission sits on, and the fact that you potentially could have some continuity there, meaning not really have to change your address or change your location. That'd be phenomenal,
it
really.
Would be, yeah.
I think it would be the best thing for the mission.
Everybody knows where we are,
right,
and we're not too far off of I-40, and a lot of people that come to us don't have transportation. I do hope when TDOT comes through that they put a sidewalk in from Davis Road up to I-40, because I often, when I'm going to work, pass our clients on the road walking along this little narrow strip where cars are driving. So I hope they'll put a sidewalk.
I have a feeling they will. Most road widening projects, if there's commercial traffic there, they tend to do that. Okay, so we've talked about the challenges. Mm-hmm. So now I want to talk about the biggest campaign, annual campaign with the rescue mission, and it being the holiday season, it's the perfect time to talk about it. But let's talk about the ringing the bells.
Ringing the bells. And it always comes to mind that It's a Wonderful Life movie.
Yeah.
With George Bailey.
Every time a bell rings.
No relation. But yeah, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
One of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great movie. My wife and I watched it the other night. Bell ringing is such an important season for us, and we really rely on volunteers throughout the community to help us ring bells. Often it is individuals or families who sign up, and I can tell you in a minute how to do that. But some churches have taken it upon themselves to take an entire day for all of our locations.
For all of the locations.
Yeah, and that helps us a lot.
How many locations is that?
There's 8 locations.
Okay.
There could be more, but those, you know, you have to talk about foot traffic and where people are likely to donate. If we can, next year we're going to work on this, that we would ask groups if they would have one person we can liaise with, and then they do all the signups, because it's very labor intensive on our part, people calling in all the time and we have to sign them up online. But people can go to our website, cookvillerescuemission.org, and click on the volunteer link. They will see a fake calendar. Don't click on the calendar. It doesn't work. But you have to click on the volunteer link, and that'll take them to the Sound of Hope webpage. There they can register and sign up. And I did it yesterday. My wife and I are going out the 14th to ring bells, mm-hmm. and figure we ought to do our part, too.
Where are you guys going to be located?
Sam's, because Sam's? It's warmer.
That's funny. We've been, our office, Swallows Insurance, we've been doing, we would taking a day for the last 7, 8, 9 years now, where we just take the whole day, whole Saturday. And I think we talked earlier when you came in the studio, our coldest day was at Walmart. And then we figured out if we go to Kroger, there's a roof over our head a little bit and it's a little warmer there. So, hey, that's only natural to look for the warmer spots.
Yeah. A lot of people, Matt, will bring like families. So I was out at Tractor Supply the first day out, and my wife had been out doing some errands, and she called me and said, hey, there's a big group over at Tractor Supply. So I walked over, or drove over to see and meet the volunteers, and they had been singing, a big family event, and kind of, you know, joking and carrying on in an appropriate way. Mm-hmm. And they were having a good time.
So have you done the bell ringing thing at some of the other organizations that you've worked
at? I have. Well, you know, Salvation Army started bell ringing way back when, and so that's what I grew up with my entire life. And I could tell you horror stories about standing downtown Chicago with wind and snow whipping around the corner at Marshall Fields, mm-hmm. and it's just bitter, bitter cold. And you had talked about, you know, putting a like a face mask on. And
all you can see is your eyes.
Yeah, I remember coming out of there with icicles on my nose and my beard, and it's... But, you know, it's happy time, too, because you feel like you're contributing.
It is. I wanted to say one thing about the website sign up. We've done that. We've gone on the website, and that's how we sign up every year. Yep. There's a lady in our office that she kind of spearheads the whole thing. And so I know it works. So they need to go out there and do it.
Yeah.
One thing I do like to talk about is just some of the stories that are involved with the bell ringing and the donations. It will warm your heart if you have never gone out there and ring bells.
Yeah. And we encourage families to bring children. It's nothing like a little child out there singing jingle bells or something and wishing people a Merry Christmas or a God bless you when you put money in the bucket. Now, I used to have a little thing, because if you're out there all day, you have to entertain yourself. I mean, let's admit it, standing on a cold cement walkway and ringing a bell all day long, it can be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to play little games, and I would sing, and then people would come by and put something in to let me stop singing.
There you go. I think I could do that one. But it's funny, our kids, they go out with us, and even we're actually going to ring this Saturday, and we mentioned something about trying to get, I wasn't thinking about it. They've mm-hmm. gone out with us last 2 years or 3 years now, And I mentioned something about trying to line up a babysitter for them. And my daughter, who's 7, over, no, we're supposed to ring. I said, that is right. You ring the bells with us. They love it.
They do.
Real quick, how important is this program to the rescue mission? How much of the budget and how much money are we talking, and how important is it?
It's not quite a quarter of our budget, but it's sizable. Last year we raised, I believe it was about $134,000. It's the largest fundraising activity that we have. This year, we've set a goal of $150,000. We have so many needs, Matt. We're 10-person staff, and it's just inadequate for the number of people that we're housing and to really do justice to the program that we're trying to offer people. So we need to hire more staff, and we need to have the ability to do that. This program is so important to our continuation of quality ministry.
And you know, with the growing population of Cookeville and the retail growing as much as it is, I think 150 could, maybe, I don't want to say easy, I don't want to jinx it, but I think we hit it this year.
I think we can hit it, and we are continually looking for new places where we can stand. And I get it, sometimes corporate offices in some other place, probably like Chicago, they won't allow it.
Mr. Bailey, I want to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man.
That's all we have for Local Matters.